Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Yeah, I'll drink rum in the summertime, and I'll throw Captain Morgan's with a splash of Coke in there for cover.
Are all rums basically the same, or some rums far
What's
better?
That?
Is Bacardi?
No, well, you can have aged rums just like you can have
Scotch,
you know, whiskey. Yeah.
What's that rum that tastes like? Oh, Malibu. That's my jam.
Oh my God! Of course, that's yours.
You really just said that. Yeah.
Do you drink? It's in a white bottle.
Michael, do you drink?
Tastes like
suntan
lotion. I don't drink rum.
I don't drink a lot of rum, but you.
Gary and I drink Malibu rum all the time.
I would like to make a recommendation.
Please don't email making fun of Chris for saying Malibu.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
Alrighty then, we are live at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest in the capital of the United States of America, Washington, D.C. We are at Chatter. We want your business at Chatter.
Chatter.
We are full service for profit, and we have a big crowd here today.
Nice Friday crowd.
Nice Friday crowd. Grateful for that. Gary Braun is here. Gene McManus is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel's going to run the board. Ann Hornaday will show up in person. Is that right? In a little while?
That's the plan.
Ann Hornaday will be here. We will talk to Jeff Ma. Had a bad week. Allegedly, we'll talk to James Carville, though we don't really believe in that stuff anymore. There's a bunch of relatively local stories. Well, certainly the first one is local in terms of about a 200-mile area in the East Coast. There was an earthquake that was centered about 8 miles east of Dover, Delaware, yesterday. This happened at about 5 o'clock when we had finished taping the PTI show and we were in the control room waiting to see if we had to go back into the show because something broke, which rarely happens and did not happen yesterday. I looked at the news and they talked about this earthquake, and my immediate reaction was, because it was in Dover, Delaware, and I think the first report was that it was a 5, and I think that was overstated. I don't think it was a 5, but a 5 is significant. My first reaction was, whoa, what about the 19971? What about my house?
Tsunami alert.
Because we are, Rehoboth Beach is about 40 to 50 miles due south on Route 1 of Dover. My daughter Elizabeth said that she didn't even feel it. But Jeannie, and it seemed the strange thing to me was the initial group of reports talked about it going north, talked about being felt in Philadelphia, being felt in New York City, but nobody talked about it going south. You felt this?
I felt it in Potomac, Maryland. And I was in almost the exact same spot, what, 3 or 4 years ago when we did have the 5.
2011.
And 2011, thank you. And I thought to myself, that has to be an earthquake because where we live is out in the middle of the woods. We're not near a train. We're not near a highway. We're a half a mile from River Road. So even if a big truck were going by, we wouldn't have felt it. There was no other conclusion but that it was an earthquake.
So you felt this yesterday?
Yeah.
You felt this thing that felt like an earthquake?
Yeah. I mean,
what did you do?
I stayed put.
What, sheltered in place?
Yeah,
wait.
Duck and cover.
Beato.
Take cover and await further instructions.
You didn't think Little
Is
Rocket
that what
Man,
you did?
Even for a second?
You didn't think North Korea?
That was my second choice.
Okay.
But earthquake was
so
my
you felt
first.
It.
Yeah,
we
did.
Were in the studios at ABC are in the second basement, not the first basement, the lower basement. You would think that because things are transmitted through the ground, I would have had a better chance of feeling that, but we didn't feel anything. Did you, Gary?
No, but my wife would tell you I don't feel anything. I'm dead inside.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Michael, did you?
We were on a walk with baby boy Bootsy, who is currently
teething,
and his two bottom teeth are coming in.
Protruding.
So the only earthquake-type noises I was hearing were coming from him.
Right. So, Nigel?
Yes, well, I was a seismologist, so we monitor these things on a regular basis.
Did anybody out here feel this thing yesterday? No.
Careful with what you say there.
What?
In this day. Did anyone out there feel this thing yesterday? I mean,
feel
you gotta be careful
yesterday.
What you say
right.
these days.
Yeah,
so.
I understand that.
But let me just caution this. When you say it wasn't that big, a 5-0.
A 5-0 is big. I thought.
Well, it was a 4-4 at registered
yes.
at. But a lot of this depends on where you are. I want to say the one from. Whenever the one
2011.
God, was that long ago?
Yeah,
already?
That's what Michael
so
said.
So I was out.
So,
yeah.
so I was.
Playing
I
want to
say that
there.
Was like a 3-6 or something.
No, that was more. And that's the one that cracked the Washington Monument.
And it
remember?
kept it closed for over a year.
Yeah.
So hurt the National Cathedral. I was out in Rehoboth playing golf on that
I
day.
I remember that.
Felt absolutely nothing. But my daughter, who was on the beach, felt it, and people on the beach definitely felt it. And that was literally 1 mile
from
the
island. Okay, yeah, that was a 5.8.
Maybe the seismologist, Fred, could answer this question. Do you feel it more if you're on porous soil as opposed to sort of rocky soil? Because our land is kind of rocky, and I wondered if that...
That is a very specifically bizarre question.
Well, the seismologist
that no one here can answer.
Friend here.
Yeah,
you
who's your seismologist friend?
He's not a friend. He's just a guy I know who's a seismologist.
Oh, yeah, so they always.
And by guy, he means monkey. It was Reginald.
It was Reginald down at the zoo, yes.
All right, so we're done with the earthquake, and now we can get to the things of far greater importance. One is the Redskins, they're done. They are now done.
Yes, they are
supposed to win this game easily. Dallas has not been able to score. They've scored two offensive touchdowns in 3 games since losing Ezekiel Elliott to a 6-game suspension. They're dead in the water, Dallas. They're not going to win this game. Their quarterback, Dak Prescott, can't complete any passes anymore and can't hold on to the ball. And by the way, only completed 11 passes last night because he didn't have to pass because they were running. Because Alfred Morris, who used to run here and left, Alfred Morris went, what did he go, 27 for 127. And they just controlled the ball the whole game, even though in the first few series, they got nothing.
And interesting statistical palindrome for Alfred Morris. His last 100-yard rushing game was for Washington against Dallas, and then his next 100-yard rushing game was for Dallas against Washington.
So the Kirk Cousins, they got slammed, literally and physically. Kirk Cousins got slammed around. He was chased. He was knocked down. He had
fumbled.
Two picks and a fumble. The winners of this are barely alive at 6-6, because in the NFC you have New Orleans and Seattle and Carolina and Philadelphia. You have Atlanta. You have the Rams.
It's going to take 10 wins.
I think it's going to take 10. So you would have had to run the tape. Dallas now has the chance to run the tape. The Redskins are—they're done.
They're done.
Down 17-0. Down 24-14. Can't stop the run. Can't protect their quarterback. They only have one legitimate starter, Morgan Moses on the offensive line, and
he goes out.
And he goes out.
Well, Trent started too, but they were very hurt. But it should be pointed out, before they had those deficits, this is a first quarter where the Cowboys started their first four series, had 12 plays for 8 yards and four punts.
Absolutely nothing.
I mean, it would have been unbelievable, and you were probably watching at 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Had I told you in 2.5 hours it's going to be 38 for the Cowboys, you would have said no way.
Here's what you do. It was a really lousy game. When Steve Sands didn't send 11 text messages every 3 seconds.
Yeah, just one.
Didn't even care.
No.
Just quit. But I'll say this in defense of Jay Gruden, who sometimes gets criticized for not making adjustments.
I was going to say, does this put his contract in play again?
Yes. No.
He made adjustments because with Maurice Harris, who's the backup punt returner in concussion protocol and unable to play, and Jamison Crowder fumbling a punt return for, I think, the third time this season, he made an adjustment. He said, let's just stop forcing them to punt. Then we won't turn it over. And that's what he did in the second half. And I would also add, in the first half, when they were completely stuffing the Cowboys' rushing attack, they must have made some adjustments at halftime because they completely got gashed in the second half.
I see you say no, that it doesn't put him in play anymore.
He just signed an extension.
Signed an extension last year in an attempt to get Kirk Cousins back.
This time next year, there will be no Jay Gruden. There will be no Kirk Cousins. We will be in a rebuilding year again.
A rebuild from
what? This is my prediction.
This time next year.
Rebuilding for a decade.
But what about at the start of next season? Will Jay Gruden be here then?
No.
So you're saying he's done.
I know smarter heads like Barry disagree with me, but I just don't. I think.
And you think Kirk Cousins will not be franchised? You think they would just let him go?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why you would franchise him. I'm not saying I don't wish he was the quarterback. I do. I wish they had locked him up last year. But you've proven that you're sub 500 with him. How are you going to get better by giving him more money and having less money to spend elsewhere? I mean, injuries notwithstanding.
That's a terrible performance. They're supposed to win. The Redskins,
they did not
if they have any character at all as a team, they go and they win that game.
Or at least show up.
Right. And Dallas, you know. Dallas isn't any good without Ezekiel Elliott.
I mean,
their quarterback completed 11 passes.
I was listening to Gruden post-game. He was like Sarah Huckabee Sanders to me. And this just kind of denial about, you know, oh, well, they just ran harder than we were. They played tougher than we were. I mean, come on. You know, look inward a little bit, buddy. I'm totally fed up with him.
Wow.
There you go.
But you know me; I never carry a grudge or remember anything for a long time.
That's a disgrace. the score in that. That's a terrible loss because you've given people hope, and you have a schedule where your last six games, not one of those games is against, when you looked at it,
they're all winnable.
Yesterday.
They're all winnable. I mean, in fairness, the Skills were an underdog.
Nobody had a winning record.
Or even 500.
Of the teams that you were looking at.
Right.
And to lose
so
like that.
So we'll find out. There was some talk early this week about how it was an audition, a five-game audition for Kirk Cousins. The Skins had to see more. Maybe it becomes that sort of situation for Gruden. I mean, if they finish 7-9.
It doesn't matter. They can finish 9-7. They're not going to make the playoffs.
They're done. But if they collapse, let's say they finish 5-11.
I'm saying then
you could see Gruden go
away. They're about 182 yards in rushing.
Here's what really ticks me off. Sean McVay was here.
Yeah.
Under our roof. Apparently, the guy is a genius.
It appears to be.
He was the quarterback's coach, and then he was offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And he's gone.
Yeah.
And he's great.
He's doing great.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end, by the way, of the mythology of Samaje Perine.
Yes.
Yeah, because he went 12-38. We can stop putting him up on.
It was fun while it lasted.
Listen, he is running behind guys who 3 months ago were out of work. So.
In the other big news in sports, Tiger Woods shot a 3-under-69. He putted well. He drove far more accurately than he usually had in the past 8 or 9 years. Certainly long enough. He made putts. He made a lot of comeback putts for pars. He hit it into the schmutz on 15 with a very awkward stance, the kind of stance that you hit the ball and you grab your back. And he didn't do that, and he made a very nice recovery and only bogeyed that hole. He beat his playing partner, Justin Thomas, by one, right? I think.
No, they tied.
Oh, they tied. With
Justin Thomas missed a 6-foot birdie putt.
It rolled around.
That he thought he made to beat Tiger Woods.
Yeah. So it rolled all the way around, and he's the player of the year. What were your thoughts about the way he played?
I thought he played great. You're missing the two biggest pieces of that performance. He played the par fives and over par.
Which he doesn't
have. And had he gone at least one under, he would have been near the lead or in the lead. And you still see an issue with the chipping and pitching, and you're seeing a very defensive play. The key swing in the game would have been the par 5 ninth hole, I believe, where he hit a 3-wood from about 280. It was a couple feet from being about 15 feet for eagle. He's in a tricky Bermuda lie. He doesn't even hit the green, and then he blasts a safe putt 15 feet by, and he can't protect par on a hole that he should have an easy birdie.
Yeah. No, he did not. Is that the one where the stick was very close to the trap and he didn't want to fool with going close to the trap?
You're thinking of the 11th hole.
Yeah,
this one he was very close. The one on 11, he played a defensive pitch. Most players would have played it to 15 feet. He missed it and played it to 40 and had to make about a 10-footer for par, but it was really 9 that got in his head.
Okay, and what do you think he'll do? What does that show you, that somebody like me is too optimistic?
No. I think we have to see the four rounds. We have to see what he does in actual tournaments. This is his own event. You have to think he's involved with setup. He had the most birdies there last year. This is fool's gold. I mean, I'm happy to see it, but again, you got to try and see control over those pitch shots. I want to see him dialing in the distance with mid irons and long irons again.
You don't think anyone takes this event? The really good players, they're out there playing, I understand, but you don't think they take this event seriously, do they?
Look at Ricky Fowler. He tried to make every birdie putt, wasn't afraid to hit it 6 feet by. This is the closest you're going to get to basically playing with your buddies at home.
That's
they're
what
trying
I think.
To make
it's
everything.
Not a test
right.
in that regard.
It might be for Tiger.
Yes, I think it's a test for him just trying to complete four rounds.
Tiger's sweating like you know.
Profusely.
But at the end, in the last two or three holes, not before
well,
that.
Well, it's Bahamas.
I guess.
Yeah.
Looks not like the yachts look nice, too. Yachts look nice. Did you see Sands' left arm look big? Sands' left arm looked very big. That was the arm that was to the camera.
Yeah,
right. And it looked like he was working on that.
Yeah, he works curls exclusively with his left arm. We've talked about
when
that.
When he's not texting with the right.
Right. We will take a break. When we come back, we have this stupid thing that we do every year that gives us enormous pleasure. Kevin Sheehan's winter forecast.
By the way, before
Wilbon's screaming about this the other day. He makes it up.
I'm going on a limb here, but I believe it may be sponsored this year.
Yeah.
It looks very, very interesting.
Multi-sponsored.
Yeah. Are we okay?
Yes.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Okay, if you're looking for a Christmas present, holiday present, whatever for somebody that you care about, and you're sort of stuck and you don't know what to do, we have the perfect gift for you, and it is Omaha Steaks. And how for only $49.99, you can get a family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com and you enter the code TonyK in the search bar. That's 75% off the regular price. Here's what Omaha Steaks is giving: exclusive savings to listeners of this high-quality podcast. Listen to everything that you will get for less than $50. It's two filet mignons, two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four kielbasa sausages, and just wait on that because there may be more, four burgers, four potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tartlets, one Omaha Steak seasoning packet, and plus you get four additional kielbasa sausages free. I have cooked these. Gary has cooked these. Jeannie, have you ever cooked these?
Yes.
These are good.
The Omaha Steaks.
This is good. This is high quality stuff. So go to omahasteaks.com, enter the code TonyK in the search bar, and get a 75% savings. It is the gift that's guaranteed to be a hit.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent in by Seamus Quinn, who writes, here are a few songs written and performed by my brother Mike Quinn. We are from Scranton, Pennsylvania. That's right on I-81, kids. And Mike is, I hope you'll agree, the crown jewel in Scranton's vibrant music scene. Mike is as good as it gets anywhere, I think. But Scranton should not just be known for The Office, Joe Biden, Aaron Judge, and several perfectly adequate service stops an hour south of Binghamton. Scranton has tunes, too, Tony. Hope you enjoy. This is called Through Love. I didn't know Aaron Judge was from Scranton.
I was unaware of that as well.
I didn't know that. I knew Joe Biden was born there. John Walsh, born and raised in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And who's the author of The Exorcist? William Peter Blatty?
Mm-hmm.
I think he, too, is from Scranton.
Fascinating.
Went to Georgetown.
It's about an hour 10 south of Binghamton. Kevin Sheehan joins us now. This is the highlight of our day, our week, our month, and our year. Kevin has his winter forecast. Did you want to play Kevin in with a very special memory? Kevin, I don't know if you remember this well, but listen.
What I will
folks, I got to interrupt. I got to interrupt you. I don't know if we just had an earthquake here or we're in the midst of an earthquake here, but the studio is shaking. Steven, what's going on here?
I have no idea. We got to go.
Yeah, we got to go.
Cowardly. Totally cowardly.
You know what the best part of that was? You guys remember Carmine, our fearless CEO?
Dope.
He walks into the studio and says, get out now. And I thought we were dealing with an earthquake, which wasn't nearly as bad as what I then thought we were dealing with, which was a bomb that maybe went off in the building.
Yeah. So,
anyway, I had an earthquake yesterday.
Yes. Yeah. Did you feel it? Jeannie said she felt it. I did not.
Is that what you call that performance?
I did not.
Are you ready to go?
I'm ready. You ready?
Yeah.
I'm ready,
Kevin. We have a huge crowd here at Chatter.
Big crowd.
Everybody is here for you.
Forecast.
All right, here we go. This is the 2017-2018 Tony Kornheiser Winter Weather Outlook, brought to you by Amazon.com. We may not own you now, but we will eventually. Also by Paisanos. What you want. Let's get to the forecast. This forecast covers the period from today, December 1st, through March 31st. As we say every year, this forecast is not intended to be used as an agricultural forecast for local farmers, nor is it intended to be used as a travel planner, Tony, for anybody that's listening out there.
Because I've got to be in New York on December 12th, and I just want to know what's going on.
I don't have that ready. I'll have to call back in next week with that. those aforementioned disclosures and disclaimers are brought to you by the law firm of Greenberg and Betterman. If you believe that you've been the victim of a defective medical device, call the friendly lawyers at Greenberg and Betterman, serving Maryland, D.C., and Virginia. As always, all mentions of Rehoboth Beach in this forecast are brought to you this year by Nicola's, creator of the Nicoboli.
Right.
Mention this forecast and you get free refills on sodas on Monday mornings in January. All mentions of Chevy Chase DC and or zip code 20015 are brought to you, as always, by the Refugee Safeway, just below Chevy Chase Circle over the line in D.C., directions to the Refugee Safeway Chevy Chase DC are available on the ESPN 980 app, as is ESPN 980's morning show, Cooley and Kevin. All right, let's get to the forecast. Let's start with a couple of factors that my colleagues and I are watching, and we will be watching throughout the winter, and that would be, Tony, the AO and the NAO. When both go negative, That's when the East Coast gets snow and lots of it. When both are positive, it's typically warmer than normal and the East Coast remains dry.
That was last year. Last year, both positive.
And now, when one is positive and the other is negative, anything can happen, just like in the National Hockey League. Any mention of the AO or the NAO is brought to you by the NHL, the league that always plays on sharpened skates. A brief scoreboard from last night. The Predators polarized the Canucks 2-1. The Flames iced the Coyotes 3-0. And the Golden Knights of Las Vegas cold-cocked the Wild. Any mention of Las Vegas during this winter weather forecast is a reminder that what happens with this forecast stays with this forecast. Now back to the forecast. Tony, winter is coming. Any mention of winter is coming in this forecast is brought to you by Game of Thrones, Season 8, not until 2019. That's ridiculous. All right, Tony, I'm expecting a warm start to the month of December. Look for temperatures like in the 50s on December 1st.
That's today. That's today.
It is?
Yes, I mean, yes.
The first week of December.
Well, he wrote this
week.
Already
this forecast is 100%. I had down here as my winter weather forecast, warm in the 50s on December 1st and warm right through that first weekend of December.
So I hope so. Get out
I haven't checked the forecast, but I might be right about that.
This is the first week in December, yes. It should be pointed out.
Yes, it is.
Oh, you're right, Gary. Yes. You're right. I did not know that. I mentioned the AO, the Arctic Oscillation, and the NAO, the North Atlantic Oscillation. Excuse me. These are two of the four or five, what we call in our trade, teleconnections that can be strong indicators of future winter weather. And I'll tell you this, Tony, towards the end of the first week of December,
yes.
Really we're talking about the 8th, 9th, 10th of December.
Well, that'd be well into the first week of December.
Actually, that would be the second week.
Yes, it would be, actually.
The AO and the NAO, both negative, and the other teleconnections also turn towards favorable winter weather. A pattern change in the forecast for late next week, it may also take you through the end of the month. Cold, very cold temperatures roll in here by next weekend. The whole East Coast into the Southeast gets its first real taste of winter. I think it'll last several weeks. December shaping up to be overall a colder than normal month. How much snow? Let's get to that.
Yes, let's get to that because, you know, Washington, D.C. averages only 2 inches of snow in December.
Yes.
By the way, first 6 minutes of the forecast, all sponsorships. Right. Nice job with sales this year, Kev.
We generated a heck of a lot of revenue this year, Gary. It's going quite well. I see our first snow sometime between the 8th and 12th of December. Perhaps a rain to sleet snow event, likely producing 3 to 6 inches when all is said and done.
3 to 6. I have to go to New York. That's going to be like 4 to 8 or 10 up there.
Well, I don't know that. It could be sort of a southern streamer where most of the precipitation sort of ends at the mid-Atlantic line and the Northeast doesn't get a lot of snow. So that's a possibility, too. But I do want to mention, as Gary just pointed out, we do have many sponsors this year. Any snow mention of 6 inches or more is brought to all of us by our longtime friends and business partners, really, Motel 6. For the second straight year, they lost out on the title sponsorship opportunities, both of which were locked down by Amazon.com and Paisanos, what you want. But despite having a smaller ad budget these days, we're still glad to have Motel 6 back. And as always, they'll leave the light on for you.
Yes, they will. It's the only light they got.
We get our first snow a week from now between the 8th and 10th. We get our second snow between the 13th and the 15th. And we get our third snow between the 21st and the 25th of December. Tony, 10 inches plus in December.
10 inches plus.
Winter is coming.
My cardiologist says I cannot shovel. Where are the Sheehan boys? They're all in college.
They'll be there with a lot of salt.
Good.
A ton of salt.
Good.
Winter is coming. Season 8, however, not out until 2019. And if you're upset about that, then head out to the movies. If you're over the age of 65, what better place to go see a movie than the Avalon in Chevy Chase? Special showings right now of Play It Again, Sam, starring Woody Allen and Diane Keaton, and Paper Moon with Tatum O'Neill, Ryan O'Neill, and Madeline Kahn, great movies, Tony, yes. and Jeannie, as you know. 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. start times, half off.
Thanks,
coffee
Kevin.
And croissants with so your AARP card. Now, the Late Show feature is The Way We Were with Robert Redford and Barbara Streisand. That will air in both theaters at 4:30. Theater closes at 7, so you'll want to have Uber pick you up right around 7 o'clock. Avalon.org for more information. Let's get back to the rest of the winter
yeah,
here.
Why not?
December's going to be a problem, as mentioned. We yes. stay cold and stormy into early January. A snow event probably around New Year's Day. This one, 4 to 8 inches of snow. Another around the 10th of the month. That one is more sleet and snow where the city points south and east get ice, maybe an inch or two, but north and west of the city, 4 to 7 inches of snow. This is one of those storms where Jack and Mabel down there in the northern neck, they get more ice, but Agnes and Lester, who, by the way, I don't know if I told you this. Maybe I told you this.
Did Agnes remarry?
Agnes and Lester, first of all, they moved recently to Hagerstown. Okay. Agnes got a job at the outlets. Lester is selling night crawlers down by the Sunoco. And remember, Agnes lost her first husband. You're right,
yes.
Cecil.
Yes.
Cecil was the one that made you all of that peanut brittle that you loved so much.
So great that Agnes is happily married again.
Yeah.
Because that was a tragedy and, you know, in the silo. That was a tragedy.
It's great to have new weather watchers in Hagerstown, but of course they're old weather watchers. Literally. I like a warm-up, a relaxation of the AO and the NAO and all of the teleconnections in mid-January. I think there's a chance we could see warm weather for a good stretch, January 16th through the 24th. Lots of snow melt going on. Then we're back into February. An ice storm on the weekend of the 10th. Get ready, Mayflower. It'll be one of those weekends where you'll need a bottle of red, a bottle of white. It all depends on your appetite. And any song lyrics referenced from any Long Island singer-songwriter during this forecast, they're brought to you by ShopRite Supermarkets. ShopRite.com for all of your holiday catering needs.
Billy Joel from Hicksville.
Another chance for snow on the 18th or 19th of January. We're getting
wait,
out
I thought
there
you were
ways.
In February. I thought you went to February.
That's what I meant. We're getting out there a ways, harder to forecast, but this one looks like a minor event. A 1 to 3 inch clipper type of storm, quick hitting Alberta originated cold front with limited precipitation. And if you'd like, I ran a symposium last summer on Alberta Clippers. It was held in Rochester.
I thought you ran it on the Los Angeles Clippers, but I guess I'm wrong on that.
It was held in Rochester. What a great town that is.
For snow.
Many of my colleagues were there. You can watch it on YouTube if you're interested. March this year looks mild, but good. Then one last gasp of winter, mid-month, sometime between the 11th and the 17th, the time frame where you will need a sharp weather eye for sure. And if you've been having trouble with that weather eye, Pearle Vision can help. Nobody cares for eyes more than Pearle. And, Tony, that last gasp of winter, cold outbreak with a few inches of snow, lots of wind. Wind will be an issue with this one. So much wind that it'll make you ask the following question. How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? The answer, my friend, of course, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. After that, Tony, we're good, and you and I can start thinking about playing golf together.
So, Kevin, so you don't have any monster blizzards in
I
the
don't.
Forecast?
I have a lot of snow, though,
well,
in December.
10 inches
right,
in 2 weeks from now would be...
10 inches, but an accumulated 10 inches over some period of time.
Okay. No, it's more than that. You're using Gary math. I think I'm
it's
up
a 10-inch event,
inches.
The 21st to the 25th.
Well, 10 inches, yeah. A 10-inch event is not a 20-inch event.
Yeah. Look, you're going to get more snow than normal, but not the devastating, crippling storm. But we're going to have a very, seriously speaking, we're going to have a really cold stretch here in December into early January.
Seriously.
And there could be a lot of snow here over the next few weeks.
Why would you say seriously speaking, thereby undercutting everything that's been said to this point?
All right. That's your winter weather outlook. This outlook is the sole property of this show. Any attempts to reproduce or rebroadcast is prohibited. All documentation of this presentation was recorded by Jeannie McManus.
Absolutely.
Go back to sucking on 980.
That's wonderful.
I got to go talk about the game last night. See ya.
Fantastic. Kevin Sheehan, boys and girls. Let's hear it for Kevin Sheehan. So the preparation
it's almost
of that
believable.
Is, yeah,
isn't
it's,
it?
Yeah.
It's almost believable. But again, as... So we're playing a few holes with Wilbon on Wednesday, and Wilbon starts ranting about Kevin and, you know, and his the show's devotion to the Redskins, because Wilbon hates the Redskins and wants the show to be devoted to other sports, and in his case, that only means the Wizards. And then he goes, Kevin makes that whole thing up. He makes it up. And we go, well, of course he makes it up. But every once in a while, he's right.
Right.
Right, he's right. And by the way, the stuff he's saying about December is what is seems to be what everybody
well,
is saying.
Spot on for the first.
Well, yeah, he's good on today.
He is.
He's very good on today.
He definitely is.
All right, that was wonderful. We will take a break. When we return, we will have news. Now, allegedly, we will have James Carville. He has not shown in 4 weeks.
Yes.
And Jeff Ma, who we hope will show up, but he went 0-4, yes. And so we don't know. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the ZipRecruiter ad. In need of great talent for your business, but short on time? You don't have to get lost in a huge stack of resumes to find your perfect hire. You just need the right tools. You need smarter tools. What if hiring could be easier, more streamlined, and less time-consuming? So even when you're busy, you can still be smart about the way you hire. If you're hiring, you know that quality hires keep your business moving forward, but you also know it can take a lot of time to find the right candidate for the job. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click, and you can rest easy knowing your job is being seen by the right candidates. Then ZipRecruiter puts its smart matching technology to work, actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting so you receive the best possible matches. And that is why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you. It finds them. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter, it is the smartest way to hire. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by growing businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, listeners to this high-quality podcast can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. Now, that assumes that you have a business and you're looking to hire somebody. I don't have a – I have a business.
You have
but
a business.
I'm not looking to hire anyone. I'm looking to shed
after
people.
After you get this huge tax cut, you'll be hiring tons of people. That's how
great.
It works.
Yes. I hope that's true. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Chuck Price, who is the drummer in a band called the Balsa Gliders. Their new album is called National Television, and they are described, self-described this way. We're a bunch of working husbands and fathers, including a few lawyers, a doctor, even an Episcopal minister. We've been making original music for 20 years. This is our seventh album. You can listen to the entirety of this song and all songs we play on this podcast at the end of the podcast. And Michael, if anybody out there, any member of the clergy wants to send us original music, how do they do it?
You can email your music into the show at jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And you can go www.thebalsagliders.com to pick up on this particular band. What are we selling today?
We have a holiday promo code available for Johnny O, and that is Bootsy, B-O-O-T-S-I, considering he's only 5 months
I-E.
Old.
It's
B-O-O-T-S-I-E.
Right. I thought you didn't say the E. I thought he said S-I at that point.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed the E.
Yeah, it's...
Can people buy transcripts of Kevin's winter weather forecast if they want to do that online or not?
Yes.
James Carville, who has missed us for 3 or 4 straight weeks, who had a double play where he was 1-1 or 2-2 and is now 8-12, joins us for what will be the culmination of one of the really good college football seasons. You may be picking college games. You may be picking pro games. We have missed you. What do you have for us?
What do I have for you? Let's start out with beginning with the Louisiana-Monroe, Florida State game, because we all know that's of huge interest to everybody all over the world.
Right.
And, well, we're going to pick Louisiana-Monroe because Florida State seems to have an unsettled coaching condition and a not very good team and not very much to play with.
27 sound right, James?
That's what I got, 27, and it sounds like the hell that's the team that wants to get out of there and wait on their new coach.
Yeah, they got decommits. They've had 3 different decommits already as Jimbo Fisher makes up his mind. Yeah.
That's what you call trying to unring a bell. I'm going to unring the bell.
Okay.
Let's go to the Big 12, TCU, and Oklahoma. I'm going to tell you, you can give me that Patterson, that TCU coach, you give me 7 points from him, and I'll take him every time. So, I mean, I know how good Oklahoma is, but I'm taking TCU in these points.
Okay.
So I like TCU. And then in the Auburn-Georgia game, I know it's hard to beat a team twice. I know they know everything, but when you beat them like 41-10, you probably got some margin of error stuck in there. So
right.
I'm looking at a point and a half. I'm going to take the margin of error. There's a reason you beat a team 41-10. You're better than them.
Auburn only is a 1.5-point favorite. Why? Because it's in Atlanta? And is that what they – that's crazy.
Because they're suckering everybody. It's in the, we do like this, and people are going to think it's too good. They're going to go the other way. That's what you call the double –
the reverse,
the reverse
double cross.
Put something up, and it's too good. People say, "I'm not going to touch it."
And that game, James, actually opened Auburn as a 3-point favorite and was bet down.
Bet down to 1.5.
And it's just dying for you to bet on Georgia.
Right, people are betting it like the game's over already.
Yeah. Okay. Is that it, or you got more?
Somebody. Well, I'm got one more.
Okay.
We got the Convicts versus the Plowboys, or whatever we want to call it. I hate that name from Miami. I see why they get upset because of outstanding university there. And they are getting 9 points, and I'm going to take the 9 points.
James, we can get you half more than that if you want it.
Nine and a half
versus Clemson.
Right. So we got a lot of games. And, we're not through.
Go ahead.
We're not through because you know what I'm going to do in the Army-Navy game.
Yes.
I'm going to pick Army. I had them last year. Big hit. The cadets are coming back.
What are they giving?
All this time.
Are they giving or getting?
All these books of, pick.
That's pick?
Yeah.
Okay.
I see a pick. That's what I see.
That's Army's had a really good season.
Right. And last year, I tell you, they're the coming guys.
All right, so you got 5 games for us. Thank you, James.
5 games. All right, we'll keep smoking, and we got to get right here by the end.
So well, and yeah, we actually have to show up and make picks, and then that makes us happy. Thank you, James.
A few little issues, but it's all right.
All right,
just keeps chopping wood.
It's such a pleasure for me, and he was. I mean, I think the people who are listening, who are in the studio with us, they could actually understand him today.
Yeah,
it's one of the rare appearances. Where James was understandable. What do you think of the only one I question is the Miami +9.5. I think Clemson's really good. I think they're really good.
Yeah, well, that will be a hotly contested game. I mean, some might question betting into an Oklahoma team that looks very good, but everyone who has had the chance, I think there's
Oklahoma,
some value in
they've
that
already
line.
Played this year, haven't they? Didn't they beat them?
Everyone who has had the chance to sort of grab it has faltered. So I think that's maybe sort of that's figured into that line a little bit.
Jeff Ma joins us now. This is very early in the morning for Jeff on the West Coast. Jeff had a rough week at 0-4. We stand by Jeff. We stand by Bet the Process and Jeff Ma, though again he bet the Browns. And again, the Browns broke his heart. So what have you got for us this week, Jeff?
Well, I wanted to go back to college. We talked last week about the Ohio State-Wisconsin game and what the line would be. The line came out a lot lower than I thought it would be. It came out around 5.5. It's been bet up to as high as 6.5 and 7 in some places. It's kind of settled down around 6. I thought the line should be over a touchdown, so I do like Ohio State minus the 6, which is where it is right now against Wisconsin. The best offense Wisconsin has played is Florida Atlantic. The best Power 5 offense they've played is Purdue. It means their defense is pretty overrated.
Yes.
And, you know, Ohio State had a little bit of scare last week. I mean, I think they're going to have to try to play for style points if they get a chance to get up. So I think they'll cover this 6 points.
Are you worried at all that their starting quarterback literally had surgery on Sunday?
Yeah.
I mean, he had surgery on his knee.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that is concerning, but, I mean, Haskins came in last week and played really well.
Yes.
He seems to be very talented, probably a better thrower than J.C. Barrett is. So, I think if something happens and he has to go in, and I'm sure that Urban Meyer is practicing this week with that possibility. So, you know, this is one of those in Urban Meyer I trust situations.
Okay. All right. What else do you have for us?
I'm going to give you another college game. What's the team that everyone is wondering if they go undefeated? You know, do they have a chance to even get in? And the answer is no, and that's the University of Central Florida. I have a feeling they're not even going to go undefeated. I think that, you know, they have a shot to lose to this Memphis team. Memphis has one of the top five offenses in the league. They're getting 7 points against Central Florida. And I think that they can keep this game close and can maybe spring the upset, which would make the classic sort of moot point on whether they can make the playoffs or not.
I also wonder, and I feel this way about Florida State, which has to play, as we just learned from James Carville. Scott Frost is very likely to leave. He's very likely right. to go to Nebraska. I don't know if that helps his team or hurts his team, that they win one last game for him or they're, you know, crestfallen and they don't care as much. Memphis put up 70 the other week, didn't they? They put up 70 points. That's a lot of points. Score. That's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, the over-under in this game is over 80. It's crazy. Whoa. I mean, they're expecting both teams to reach close to the 40.
Yeah.
They say the first team to 50 is going to win this game. So it's going to be an exciting game, and I think, again, Memphis getting a touchdown here has some value. Moving into the NFL.
Let me just say, like, before you get to the NFL, Jeff, I've already written in Cleveland plus 14.
Well, if you're going to give me 14, that's even better. I think that line is closer to 13.5. Sure, why don't we kill the drama there? And
of course.
Cleveland plus 14 against who?
They're playing the Chargers. At the Chargers.
Wow, the Chargers have been very good lately. You sure you want to do this?
Yeah, I'm sure I want to do it.
Okay.
I mean, it's Tony, it's 14 points. That is a lot of points. I mean, if this team, you know, and last week was a classic Cleveland situation. They were covering and had stopped the Bengals. And, Jabril Peppers made a great play and was penalized for it. So I think, you know, any time that, and I know this sounds stupid, but, like, they've been in great situations the last 3 to 4 weeks.
Yes, and failed.
Yeah, right there. Yeah.
And they have failed. They gave up the touchdown to Mixon late in the game and failed.
They get Josh Gordon back. Maybe they'll be able to score a little more easily.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I like that they've gotten some playmakers back, and Josh Gordon and Corey Coleman, those are both very solid, better offensive players than they've had all season. So, you know, I mean, obviously it's going to come down to turnovers, and they have to not turn the ball over. If they don't turn the ball over, they'll cover this. If they do, then who knows?
Okay.
But 14 points in an NFL game is a lot. And then Atlanta -3 over Minnesota. Atlanta is the number two team in the league right now in terms of yards per play. Their offense has really come around. As I mentioned, Minnesota's defense is a little bit worse on the road than they are at home, about half a yard per play. So if there is one weakness, it's at home. And basically, they're saying these two teams are about even. So I like Atlanta at home in this situation. And then I'll give you one more, and that's New Orleans -4.5. They're the top offense in the league in yards per play. A lot of this comes down to whether they get their two cornerbacks back, Lattimore and Crawley. If they do, I really like them here. I think that they need to bounce back here, and they match up pretty well with this Carolina team.
So you'll take you will take that the home team, New Orleans, against Carolina, and that's 4.5 because that was 4 the other day. That was 4 the other day.
You guys, are going to give me the 4.
We'll give you 4. We'll give you 4 because Chuck Todd took it at 4 and went the other way. So we'll give you the 4, okay?
Yeah, sounds good.
Thank you, Jeff. The Jeff's podcast is called Bet the Process, and it's more than just, obviously, it's more than picking. It's an attempt to show you how you get to a point where you're comfortable with one team over another. Do I explain that correctly?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, he went?
Yes, you do.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, clears it out.
I explain that correctly.
Yes, your boss.
He is not a tout. He's not. You don't listen to that for 800 numbers and claims for free picks.
Especially when you go 0-4 the week before.
Yeah, you wouldn't want him.
You wouldn't want that. What do you got, Nigel?
Yes, by the way, I think this is my best newscast I've ever had.
You're doing a great job.
You haven't done anything yet.
Well,
can I pose a question here?
You absolutely can.
What is a bigger deal? What is a bigger deal? Rex Tillerson being ousted as Secretary of State, or Giancarlo Stanton perhaps signing with the Giants? Which is a bigger deal?
Did have a
perspective, I guess.
Stanton had a lot of home runs last year.
I think Stanton is a bigger deal.
It is.
It's just me personally.
Yes. You talked about Josh Gordon being back. Yes,
yes.
Hugh Jackson talked about it yesterday and said, am I comfortable saying he will start? Heck yeah. Are you kidding me? He's going to start right away.
He's overcome, we think, we hope, drug addiction. He's been out of the NFL
drug and
for
alcohol
a long time.
As well, right?
Yeah, yeah. But an actual addict. This is a hopeful story, except for the fact that DeShone Kizer cannot get the ball to him.
Well, that's
DeShone Kizer's terrible.
Yes.
But I hope he does well.
I really root
I hope
for him.
He does well.
I don't know
I don't
why, but
necessarily root for Cleveland, but I hope he does well. So,
by the way, 2 months ago, Cleveland said as soon as he's reinstated, we're cutting him. So I don't know what happened in between now and then. I mean, he's convinced someone, obviously.
0-8 is what happened in 2 months.
Well, they're not going to make a playoff run. Yeah. I mean, what else?
Melancholy at me trails to Jim Nabors, Mr. Tony, the singer who's most well-known.
Didn't he go Shazam?
Yes,
wasn't he that guy?
That's Gomer Pyle, USNC.
Isn't that a great name, Gomer? Isn't it? Who came up with Gomer?
I'm not sure.
You know. Do you know what Gomer referred, what that means when you talk to medical students?
No.
Get out of my emergency room. It's meant that old people who are going to die, they're called Gomers.
Oh, no. We're
going
to be on the lookout for that. Yep.
They're called
like
Gomers.
Goners. I've heard of Goners.
Gomers.
Yes.
Get out of my emergency room.
He had three catchphrases.
And I know this because I'm a doctor.
Well, yes, you are a doctor.
I'm a doctor.
His three catchphrases were golly, Shazam, and of course the always great surprise, surprise, surprise.
He made a career out of nothing. And then it turns out, and we didn't know he was a really good singer.
Great singer, yeah.
Right.
We had no idea that he had such a beautiful voice. And for 20 years in a row or something like that, he opened up the Indianapolis 500 by singing Back Home in Indiana. So, interesting.
When people ask me about how you and I get along, I say, well, Tony and I get along very well. We both like talking and soup. Not talking, snow peas, and we both like soup.
Soup!
Soup.
We both
Which
like
soup. Which
is why soup.
I think we will both like the Oprah Winfrey line of soup and sides that she has come out with.
Is there a Yankee Bean? God. Oprah soup?
Yankee Bean no, soup. At this point...
No, but I watched this commercial today, and Oprah's sitting there with two other women, and Oprah talks about comfort food soups and how they need to have cheddar cheese in them, but she says, well, we're not doing that. We have squash instead.
Oh, it's the same thing.
And the whole angle.
And by the way, they don't appear to be selling to men. I'm just saying, by the way the commercial is shot, they don't appear to be selling to men. But with Michael, you said the soups are awful?
No, I've never tried the soups. I'm just saying they've substituted everything that you like in a soup with pureed cauliflower.
Well, how involved is she in the manufacturing of the soup? Or is it like a Trump situation?
Well, she came up with this idea when she was like, I love to eat mashed potatoes, but I shouldn't be eating mashed potatoes. She's like, well, let me see if I can have whipped cauliflower, and that'll be the same thing. It wasn't. So she said, well, what if I just mix in a little bit of the cauliflower with the mashed potatoes? So it's this blend of something healthy with something that may not be quite as healthy. That's sort of the inspiration.
Mashed potatoes aren't healthy?
Well, it's a lot of starch and, you know.
Well, there's no starch. Cauliflower have no starch.
They're made right.
Creamy tomato basil soup with a twist of celery and carrots.
There you go.
Broccoli cheddar with a twist of butternut squash.
Never thought
creamy butternut squash with sweet potatoes and carrots.
No, I'm not eating that.
And baked potato with the cauliflower.
Food.
Yeah, this sounds like what you give Bootsy to transition to solids.
Yeah. So it's keeping cream and cheese out.
There's also
a
French onion soup with neosporin, which is quite good.
Sounds delicious.
Isn't Oprah incredibly wealthy and successful?
Yes.
And don't people trust her?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So if she's peddling soup.
Well, and
she's the soup Nazi.
Always been interested in healthful eating, and her own weight loss and gain have been.
She looks real good
obvious.
In the commercial.
Mm-hmm.
She looks real good in this particular commercial. All right, are we good?
I have one more story, and I can
Is it Florida Man Friday story?
It's not Florida Man. This has actually occurred in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania Man Friday.
And I can only hope that Chris Saliza is somewhere listening to
this podcast. I just want to say hello to Greg Foscato and wish him good luck with his new job.
Hello, That's Greg. Okay. Good luck.
Yeah. Hello, Governor.
Robert Trussell was at an amusement park ride in Pennsylvania at Pittsburgh's Kennywood Amusement Park in early July, and he went down something called the Raging Rapids, which simulates whitewater rafting. I know this is a thing you like to do all the time.
Sounds fun.
Do it all the time.
Do
Love
it all the time.
I scream. I don't want to be on any rides.
Do you remember when you went on the log ride
at
King's Dominion?
I was terrified beyond comprehension.
Is that like the flume?
Oh, yes.
I love that ride.
There's a picture of me, which is, they take a picture of everybody when they cross the line. And mine is abject horror and terror. It's terrible.
Well, the terror might be a little bit more real now. Not that you would ever do this again. So while he was in the Raging Rapids, obviously water got in his eye. A few days afterwards, the eye became itchy, red, and painful and sensitive to light.
What we call a Bob Costas situation.
Well,
remember he had
pink eye.
Yeah. It was diagnosed as pink eye.
There you go.
And given antibiotics, but
you
weren't
get
working.
That at a pool.
So the symptoms continued to worsen, and to the point where they found out that he had a parasite now on his eye, and he underwent an extremely painful surgery. Chris, are you listening? Where the parasite was scraped out of his eye with a surgical scalpel.
Oh.
The parasite is
better that than a spoon.
Yeah, dull spoon.
A melon baller, Microsporidia keratitis is what the parasite is. And unfortunately...
And it was alive in that water.
Well, yeah, and apparently
the
parasite was unable to be removed during the surgery. So it went through all that, and they couldn't get it on. So Trossel continues to suffer from blurry vision, redness, itchiness, dryness, inflammation, and pain.
Isn't it using his eyeball?
Yes. Yeah, it's terrible. So he
is... Did he go to a real doctor? How could they not get it out?
As someone who swims like three mornings a week, this is very scary to me.
He's filed a lawsuit with the Kennywood Amusement Park. He claims that the Raging Rapids ride water was dirty, stagnant, and sludge-like, and the park failed to adequately regulate and inspect and filter the water. Now, this is the thing that is curious to me. Trussell is seeking $35,000 in damages.
That's all?
$35,000? That doesn't even sound like it's going to pay
for the medical. Aim a little higher.
What are you, crazy? I'll give you that.
I was going to say, how is that news?
What are you doing?
Patino's suing for $35 million.
Money.
I would think it would be settled before he was done uttering the sentence.
$35,000? Wow, that's
and
nuts.
A lifetime of, that was like Kramer at Saipan, a lifetime free pass to the amusement park.
He could go on the rides anytime he wants.
That's terrible. I would get out of here. What are we coming back with?
Old Guy Radio, in studio.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
So this is Christmas.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is my favorite Christmas song. This is John Lennon singing. This was released 46 years ago today. 46 years ago today. I really do like this.
I do too.
I mean, I don't, you know, I'm
like
not crazy
Love,
about the little
slightly
drummer
better,
boy.
But this is close.
Yeah,
second.
I'm not, I don't like some of the others, but I do like, I think this is a great tune.
Well, if the Beatles, you know, after they broke up and they all individually did Christmas songs, I think Simply A Wonderful Christmas Time is dreadful by Paul. This is just brilliant.
No, it's great. It's great.
And this was originally, the first version of this was done on an acoustic guitar in October of 71. Lennon recorded it in his room at the St. Regis Hotel, and then over the next month or so, he finalized
and
it.
And added everything.
Added everything.
All the voices.
Yes. And the producer for this was Phil Spector. Because at that point, they were working together a lot. So and they sort of used a bunch of other songs, like pieces from them, and blended it together.
John Lennon obviously lost to us. Phil Spector lost to us as well. Lost to polite society as well. Ann Hornaday has shown up here for the first time ever. This is a fabulous event.
Ann
Hornaday is here. Nigel has cautioned me to lead you in at some point to your appearances that you want to plug.
I am going to be appearing.
We'll plug that.
Thank you.
You know, you're here. Of course we're going to plug that. But let us go. To my knowledge, there are three movies that you are going to talk about.
Okay.
And the first one is The Disaster Artist.
Yes.
And this is a James Franco starring vehicle or directing vehicle or whatever.
Both.
James Franco's weird.
In a good way.
He's just a weird guy,
James Franco. In a lovely,
James Franco.
Wonderful, I think.
Do you remember when James Franco and Anne Hathaway hosted the Oscars? And it was weird
Disaster.
Is the only way that I could describe it.
He was mad. Disengaged. They had. I think the backstory there was that the producers, you know, they brought them on to be edgy and millennial and young and all that. And then when they tried to do that and they introduced some edgy humor, ABC or the Academy, I don't know, whoever the powers that be were, got cold feet and at the last minute said, you can't do that. And his performance that night was his demonstration against, you know, he was not happy. But it didn't, it was not a good look.
Well, he was terrible. He was absolutely terrible.
And were they running from Gervais at that point? Had he done it, I think, the previous year?
Do you know what, Gary? I can't remember now. I think they were actually trying to... I think they were trying to kind of punch it up a little bit. You know what I mean? Like make it a little bit more edgy. But then they just thought it was not on their brand. And I've always thought he was really interesting. You know, he goes to graduate school. He takes literature classes. He does performance and installation art. And I just think anybody who's trying new things and willing to kind of look silly doing it, I really
admire that.
Why did
you point
that.
To me at that point?
By the way,
willing to look silly.
Just,
who among us?
Self-correction. It was Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin had done it in 2010.
Okay.
Hathaway and Franco 2011.
So
and
there you go. So
and
it was
they
definitely
they went
trying
back
to get
to
younger.
Billy Crystal.
Yeah. We need to go back to, you know. We know.
So what is The Disaster Artist?
All right. So here's the
disaster. And is it aptly named?
Yes, I think so. It's about a movie called The Room, which none of us here probably have seen. But it was a kind of do-it-yourself vanity project by this guy Tommy Wiseau and his best friend. And it was a homemade movie. Tommy Wiseau is this bizarre character of indeterminate provenance. He has this strange pseudo-European accent, kind of vampire-like looks, long mane of black hair, endless pots of money that nobody knows where it comes from. But he self-financed this movie that was just a piece of crap, you know? I mean, it was just... But they released it, and it became a cult hit because it's so bad. It's like Planet... It's our Plan 9 from outer space. It's this generation's Plan 9. And it became a cult favorite. They were still showing it at midnight down at E Street. And people now, you know, they bring things to throw at the screen. It's like a Rocky Horror fun laugh along with them and at them kind of experience. And so James Franco was so taken with this movie and the cult that it had developed that he wanted to make an homage. So this is his dramatization of the making of the movie. And he plays Wiseau. And his brother Dave plays, I can't remember the actor's name, the lead actor. And it is funny. And it's obviously
Greg
the most...
Greg Sestero, is that right?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Thank you, Greg. It's the obvious comparison is to Ed Wood, the Tim Burton movie.
Yes, yes.
Which I still think reigns supreme. I just think that's a masterpiece. Like, that is a great piece of filmmaking and poignant. You know, I mean, really, it was funny and campy, but deep and very poignant. This doesn't have that grandeur, but it has the same spirit of kind of playfulness and really being about people just trying something and going for broke and failing, but then succeeding at it. And at the end, they do a shot-by-shot comparison of the movie within the movie and then the real movie. And, I mean, Franco went to every end to recreate this thing. I mean, his performance is absolutely spot on. He's already won an award for it. It's a really great performance. It's a lot of fun. I had a ball. Now, I went having not seen The Room because I wanted to know, if I haven't seen The Room, will I still like this movie? And I did. So I would recommend it. I think Room fans will love it. And even if you're not, I think you'll enjoy it.
But this is a vanity project.
No, this, I wouldn't say, is. No.
Really?
No. Uh-uh, no. I mean, I think it's
a
little bit insider.
You don't think this is James Franco saying, I'm smarter than you, and here's how I'll show it to you?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think it's a real homage to just, like, crackpots, you know, just to you know, crackpots with a dream. And kind of the incessant lure of Hollywood and fame. And ultimately, friendship, too. You know, it's about loyalty and forgiveness and all those things rolled into one. But it's mostly just a playful kind of a hoot.
Will you go to see The Room now?
No.
Okay.
I have no intention. I feel like I've seen it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
I don't need to do that.
Okay. All right. That's that movie. You like that movie.
Yes, I did.
There's a movie called The Man Who Invented Christmas.
Yeah. I wanted to kind of lift this up. This opened over Thanksgiving, and I hadn't seen it when we last talked. And I just wanted to kind of, I ended up watching it and was thoroughly delighted by it. It is about Charles Dickens and how he came to write The Christmas Carol. And which I never knew the backstory. And Dan Stevens, and I guess Downton Abbey people will know that name.
I don't know him at all.
Oh, was
no.
he the one who was killed in the car crash?
He's the American.
Oh, the chauffeur.
I think.
Yeah.
See, I didn't.
Okay.
I'm not an Abbey person.
Okay.
I know him from. He's done smaller movies. He has a great role on a little HBO show. It was a web series, now an HBO show called High Maintenance. But he is a terrific actor. He was the Beast in Beauty and the Beast this year. But you didn't see him because he was behind a Beast costume. But he is a
terrific...
Well,
I didn't see him because it was Beauty and the Beast. That's why I didn't see him.
I set him up, and you just...
Yeah, that's why I didn't.
High soft one, and you just...
Yeah, yeah.
He was Lady Mary's husband who was killed in a car crash.
Thank you very much. Spoiler alert, but that's okay. Right?
No, it's late.
It's been long. Anyway, he plays Dickens, and Christopher Plummer plays Scrooge. He's visited by these characters. He's literally visited by the characters that he writes about. And Plummer plays Scrooge, and it is perfect casting. It is delightful. It's funny. It's about a man. He's got all these... He's a lovely guy. He's had one success and then a string of flops, but he's overextended. He's got house payments and a kid on the way and a lifestyle he wants to maintain. He's blocked. He keeps getting interrupted by his wife and his kids and this and that. And... there's a lot of humor and, again, spirit, and it's just a beautiful, lovely movie.
So you like that one a lot.
I really did, and I just wanted to kind of give that a little plug.
Okay, and then you were going to review Coco.
Oh, yeah, Coco, the Pixar movie. Nigel saw Coco.
I did. I loved it. I know you're not an animated film guy, No, you probably will not see this, but for folks...
No, probably doesn't come close.
Yeah.
No. I won't see this.
Christopher Plummer plays you in the movie
but
of your life.
Michael will probably, because of Bootsy,
yeah.
Coco will probably become yeah. very
that's,
important.
Have you decided what's Bootsy, the first movie going to be?
Huge fan of cinema,
that's
Bootsy.
That's a big deal, the first movie.
Is that okay for a small little child, Coco?
You know what? I would actually say it's a little scary. Because it deals with the Day of the Dead in Mexico, so there's skeletons. It's beautiful. I mean, I think the story's a little busy. I found the storyline actually a tiny bit contrived, but the visuals, the environment, the world that it builds is absolutely exquisite. It's just beautiful to watch, the music and the color and the detail. It's really magnificent, but it might be too intense for little tiny ones.
Well, the first movie I think we showed to Michael, I think, was Goodfellas.
Of course.
Start him on the classics.
I turn my back on you. And it's like, kid, that's going to be you in 20 years if you just
I actually have the first movie Sydney, my daughter, who's now 16, we took to was Finding Nemo, which was 2003. So she would have been in the neighborhood of two. And we were at Ocean City, and we went at the beach, and we had her all ginned up for it. You know, we told her all about it. She was so excited. And we went to the movie theater. We were in there about 8-10 minutes, whatever the first scene is that Nemo appears. And she stands up in her seat and points to the screen and yells, "There he is! There he is!" And continues to do that for about 30 seconds. Now, granted, it's a lot of kids in the movie, but people are starting to shh. And I'm doing what any good parent would do, just holding my hand over her nose and mouth, trying to shut her up. And she just wouldn't shut up. And ultimately, we had to, walk out.
Oh, my God, that's adorable.
Yeah.
We had Nemo on heavy rotation during those years, and I never got sick of it. Not one. I could watch that movie.
Yeah, I agree.
Every day, and I did for a certain period of my life, and I never, ever got sick of it. It's a perfect movie.
What do you hear about the movie The Post?
Well, word on the street. I've seen it.
Oh, you have seen it?
Yeah.
Dying to see it.
I think you're going to be well pleased.
Okay.
There's all these different embargoes. I think we're allowed to share social sentiment now. So socially, I will tell you, my sentiment is it was pretty wonderful. It's pretty wonderful.
I was so worried that Ben and Kay would become sort of cartoon characters, even with Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks. And you probably can't say any more than
no,
that.
No, okay. I would, I don't, you know.
I'm also delighted to know that my first boss, Meg Greenfield, is also portrayed in this movie.
Definitely.
I can't wait to see
that. Well, because she was a part, it's funny. I went to see the movie and then I went and reread that passage in Mrs. Graham's memoir about that period. And it's incredibly faithful to the TikTok, and which included the public sale of the company, taking the company public, which going athwart of the Nixon administration could have scuttled that deal. So there was a lot at stake, not just in terms of the free press, but the health of that company and the survival of it. But even Ben Bradley's daughter had a lemonade stand while they were all over at his house running through the papers and deciding, editing them. And that's in there. And Meg was a part of that team that all convened.
Right.
They just went through this flurry of editing.
So here's what I would like to... Here's my fear, and yes. I'm not asking you to talk in any detail about this. The performance in All the President's Men by Jason Robards is if you knew Ben...
Sui generis.
Not all of us, anybody listening may not have known Ben, but Jeannie and I knew Ben well. That's Ben Bradley. When he hits hits the table and walks out of the room, you win an Oscar for that because he did win an Oscar for that. So now you have Tom Hanks, who is a great American actor.
Yeah.
A great American actor. And he's playing Ben Bradley. And in my mind, I don't know if he can, because Jason Robards is Ben Bradley to me. That's one thing I worry about. Somebody said to me that they were apprehensive about Hanks playing Bradley. And what I said was, one of the things you have to remember, Tom Hanks is probably in his mid-60s now. The Ben Bradley of this period of time was barely 50 years old, barely 50. And the Catherine Graham of this period of time was 50 years. So I wonder if Hanks and Meryl Streep are playing the Ben Bradley and Catherine Graham that we all know who are older than they were in that period of
that
time.
That could be, but I didn't. That wasn't enough to take me out, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Because they're consonant, at least. Like, you don't see a big... I do think... Look, I think... I knew Ben a little tiny bit, and I know exactly what you're talking about. No one will ever equal Robards, and I just... it's crazy to try to banish him. You know, it's like you have to just manage that. You can't erase it. You can't pretend it's not there. I think what Hanks does is that he doesn't try to be Robards. He doesn't try to, you know, here's the thing. Hanks is not a sexy guy. Robards brought that animal sex appeal, which, frankly,
Ben
that
had.
Charisma that Ben had.
Yeah.
And
yes.
We all know it. We might as well just say it, you know? And that's what that hitting the paper. And I will say Hanks does. There's a little homage to that in the movie. I don't know if it's on purpose or not. But I caught a moment which I felt was maybe Hanks paying a little homage to that very gesture that we all
great.
Love so much.
Great.
But I think what he brings is authenticity. He brings kind of a rock-solid trustworthiness that isn't that swagger, but it gets to an aspect of Bradley's character that's true and right and right on. And it's really about their relationship, and it's really about her. I mean, this is a movie about Kay Graham becoming a journalist.
She's making the call.
This is her crucible. This is what sets them up for Watergate. Without this... They wouldn't, you know, they already had trust, but this really tested it and forged it and tempered it. And so I think that's what this is about and what it makes it, it's just thrilling, you know, it's really, and it, I mean, talk about a movie for its moment.
Yes.
I mean, my God, it's, so, we'll have a lot to talk about.
Okay, good. So you have appearances beyond this?
Yes, I have another Talk Cinema appearance tomorrow morning. Come to Bethesda Row.
Not at the Avalon because you're too
no,
young.
No, Avalon's. You flatter me so. Yeah. No, Avalon's on Sunday. I'm doing a doubleheader this
okay.
time.
Okay, all right.
So I'm going to be at Bethesda Row tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. for Talk Cinema. We had such a good time last time. It was I, Tanya, and everybody loved it. That's Margot Robbie as Tanya Harding,
oh, yeah.
right.
which we're going
right.
to talk about in a few weeks. But we had a ball. And then on Sunday morning, I'll be at the Avalon for the Cinema Club.
Is there a movie being shown, or do you just sit around?
There is,
and
but
talk?
I don't know if I can. I'm not sure if
it's embargoed, right?
I think it might be. Okay. I don't want to put a foot wrong, so I'm just going to say, come and join us, and I think you won't be disappointed.
Okay. Actually, I think I know the movie, and you all know it's Mr. 3000. So I think you're doing that.
One of the great movies.
Yeah, it's on classic.
One of the great movies I was ever in.
Yes, exactly.
One of the two movies I was ever in.
And by the way, the podcast At the Movies with Arch and Ann is also up and available for
goody.
Folks who want to listen to that.
We had
which
a good time.
Is taped right here at the Chatter Studios.
Yeah, I feel like I'm home.
Thank you, Ann.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
It's wonderful
thank you.
To
it's
be
great
here.
To see you.
Thank you. It's
actually
nice to be
seen.
You.
We will take a break. We will come back with email and jingles.
That's
do
right.
I have the order of the show correct?
Yes.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Blue Apron ad. And given the fact that that Kevin has done his winter weather forecast, I now know that I'm going to start reordering Blue Apron
absolutely.
In the middle to the end of December. Because I would sit in my house and cook Blue Apron when I know I can't grill or when I know that... And Michael won't be over because Bootsy teething now is going to take Michael out of play.
That's tough.
For a little while. So because teething is... That's one of those experiences where you don't want a baby, you know, all over the place...
No, you want him to be comfortable.
Trying
spot.
To bite the dog.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want the baby trying to bite the dog.
Fair point, yes.
Here's the stuff about Blue Apron. It delivers fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and step-by-step recipes right to your door that can be cooked in under 45 minutes. The menu changes every week based on what is in season and is designed by Blue Apron's in-house culinary team. It offers 12 new recipes each week. Customers can pick 2, 3, or 4 recipes based on what best fits their schedule. Blue Apron sends only non-GMO ingredients and meat with no added hormones for you people interested in your own health. I like this. I mean, I like doing it. I don't do it every day. I haven't done it in months, but I am going to do it, and I do like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you do enjoy the process.
I do, you know, and I trust the process. Me and the Philadelphia 76ers. Some of the best parts of your day happen over dinner, and so... This is a good thing to do, especially in a house filled with people and screaming children with
George
the beginnings of teething. Blue Apron is treating the listeners of this show to their first dinner. This is a $30 value if you visit blueapron.com/TonyK. That's free. It's a $30 value. Check out this week's menu. Get $30 off with free shipping at blueapron.com/TonyK. Blue Apron, for those of you deficient in spelling, is BLUEAPRON. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Leaving Rehoboth, Caddy's about to take flight, hoping to get 18 in. Then blue lights flashed to my chagrin. license registration. I am surely in a jam, but I got one chance yet. If he knows just who I am, Mr. State Trooper, please recognize me. Please recognize me. Please recognize me.
Whew. John Fitzpatrick, Arlington, Virginia, with more production than many of John's great
and
songs.
And nicely yes. sung.
Very, very, very well done. Before we get into the mailbag, let me thank our weather guru. It says Kip Schmeeman, but we will call him by his real name, Kevin Sheehan.
At KevinS980.
Washington Post movie critic Ann Hornaday, the legendary James Carville, our predictive genius Jeff Ma, host of the podcast Bet the Process, for coming on the show. Our sponsors today, get our thanks, Omaha Steaks, Blue Apron, and ZipRecruiter. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave a review. From Dina in Damascus, sadly, I will not be able to be a chatter to see Kip do his winter weather forecast. Well, he wasn't actually physically here.
Yeah.
I'll be watching one of my daughters give an honors presentation on the math behind hurricanes, hashtag ironic. From Mike Roseberry in State College, Pennsylvania, which is the home of Penn State University, or as we like to call it old UPS, the University of Penn State. So Tony buys a restaurant and Tori is trafficking in exotic animals. Since you guys obviously are into making sound fiscal decisions, let me ask you, I've got a chance to invest in a Broadway musical called Springtime for Hitler. Should I commit?
Absolutely.
Tim Kirsch in Lodi, New Jersey. Baby Boy Bootsy, same alliteration as Big Baller Brand. Coincidence? I think not.
Right.
DJ Wagner in Fort Wayne, Indiana, talking about going to the Whistling Straits course with pictures of giant sheep. Says, make sure to bring ram food to the Straits course. I didn't. And these, and he uses a word I can't use, intentionally talked aloud while I tried to putt, and there's a picture of all the sheep. Now, that is on the Irish course, not on the Straits course. When we played the Irish course, my one great disappointment was that the sheep were not out.
We looked for them.
I wanted to see the sheep. I very much wanted to see the sheep. From Juan Baltazar, can you please pass along this message to Tori? I would like to formally submit my application to play the part of Balthazar, one of the three wise men. I have only one qualification. My last name is Baltazar with no H, but I think that's close enough. If this actually gets through, I'd like to send a shout out to my wife, Megan. She's an English teacher. Also, my feminine child, Faith, who was born 9 months ago and whose birth announcement was promptly ignored by Nigel. Don't get angry,
Again, Nigel.
We kid because we care. From Alex Hofbauer in Los Angeles, continuing the conversation about bad commercials, there's an iPad commercial currently airing every 5 minutes with a teenage girl going around a city with her iPad. At one point, an older neighbor woman asks her, "What you doing on your computer?" To which the girl responds, "What's a computer?" I've discussed this with friends, and we are unanimously enraged by this response. I hope fellow littles see this the same way. I have not seen this commercial. I've not seen this.
It's hard to miss.
Benjamin Brunner, or Bruner, in Easton, Maryland. It all makes sense now. Malibu rum, the color of lace. Enjoy your girly drink, Saliza.
Dawson's Creek.
Yeah. From Dan Kelly, a long time little, in fact, a lifer. I was listening this morning when I heard about the Kohler Company, that's the other day, offering to host you at Whistling Straits. Well, that is very nice. I work for the Thomas Somerville Company, a 155-year-old locally owned distributor of Kohler products. We would be happy to provide you with a free Kohler waterless urinal from the men's room. Chatter would be the talk of the neighborhood, and the men's room would smell better. Also, thank you for the many years of entertainment. When I was on the road as a salesman in the 90s, I would plan my sales calls around your time slot in the morning so I could listen to your show. I'm old enough to remember the Larry King endorsement that stated you were the best radio show in the country. And for heaven's sake, do not ask how you're doing. Someday it is my hope to scream with cheesery while standing at the new waterless urinal in the men's room at Chatter. Hold on to this. Give this to Michael. We want to make that work. Brady Shannon in New Orleans. When charities leave a note on Uncle Doctor's porch, does it say your food? Give me a box of that. No, but I did it last night. I put a bunch of things in a bag to put out tomorrow. I've been guilted into this. Sam in Cincinnati, while I understand your affinity for the toaster oven may have distracted you from such a revelation, I would like to call your attention to the life-altering question posed by Sebastian in Atlanta on Thursday's show. I was standing next to my microwave while listening, so I had a unique vantage to answer his should I press 130 or 90 question for myself. Like you and Nigel, a phrase I don't anticipate using again, I thought that only a fool would attempt to input 90 seconds, yet here I am reducing my effort by a third. So I guess you can do that. Josh Cromwell, Moselle, Mississippi. While I enjoy the song that introduces Reginald every week, a vague antecedent in the chorus has left me with an important question. Is it Nigel or Reginald who throws poo after drinking too much? I know this is typical monkey behavior, but I feel Reginald could easily drink Nigel under the table. So perhaps Nigel is the true guilty party. I think this might require an investigation. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white. And thanks to a great crowd.
Stop the hammering. Stop the hammering out there. Who's got a hammer?
I don't
hear
it.
Where is it?
Never gets old.
Where's the hammer?
I don't hear it.
Is it on the... Go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering. Stop the hammering.
It's always good. Long stretch of the truth.
like a palace song. But you, you were golden too. You were old and new, like a palace.